eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Cadillac, let's get to some of the other Pats Puri elements, the news, notes, and nuggets that are driving the narrative in Pats Nation right now. Just moments, though, before, let's take a broad view.
Let's go 10,000 feet, as the corporate types like to say on this one.
The new kickoff rule was approved.
Yeah.
And look, I am not one. I take more shame laps than I do victory laps in this life, but I'm just going to say a couple years ago, I haven't gone back to find the tweet where I put it out a couple years ago, but I will. I said a couple years back, just change the damn kickoff rule to the XFL rule. It'll work better. It'll get more people moving and it's safer. And now this morning, as we found out, the XFL style kickoff rule has been approved. And just like with everything new, the hip drop tackle was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now today we have the new kickoff rule. There are proponents of it and there are diametrically opposed, nasty opponents of it. Where do you stand on it?
I love it. And I think that we just need to get used to it. It's something that is going to look, I guess, ridiculous at first, because again, you're not used to it. You're not used to guys standing still and, you know, aligned in different positions to start. But my understanding is it's going to limit fair catches because, you know, there's more of an incentive to land it ahead of the goal line. And without the kickoff team on full sprint from the opposing 35-yard line, it's going to limit, you know, crazy contact, crazy hits, and hopefully limit injuries. And so, look, I think by week five, we're going to love it. I don't think there's going to be any complaints. I think it's going to make a ton of sense. It keeps, you know, everyone talks about, oh, well, football's changing and things are, you know, being eliminated and it's going to turn into flag football. And I get that. Like the hip drop thing yesterday, ridiculous. But this is keeping the kicking game in the game, which everybody wants. And so I love it. I think, again, we just need to get used to it. And I think it's going to be really successful.
I love it. I loved it when I saw it in the XFL, full well knowing that this could, A, prevent more injuries, and B, would actually foster and encourage more kickoff returns and plays. Now you don't have 240-pound, 5% body fat, you know, armored man missiles sprinting down the field, crashing into each other. It is the most violent play. It is the most dangerous play in the game. But kickoff returns now had gone way down. There were only kickoff returns on 22% of kickoffs last season in the NFL. And also, side note, let's not bury the lead here or throw the bathwater out with the baby here. The onside kicks are now going to go up as well, because now you have to declare it's going to be an onside kick, number one. And number two, you are allowed to use an unbalanced formation. Mm-hmm. So you can put six dudes on one side, four on the other, and kick in the direction of the six dudes and hope that maybe you actually get a chance. So
The only thing that stinks there, I don't like that you can't really do a surprise onside kick anymore. Like, and I get it. It, you know, it helps now because the odds.
How many worked this century?
No, I know. You're in the Super Bowl. It was the one in the Super Bowl. No, I agree and I get it. But there's also less of an element of surprise. But again, it helps the odds because you can unbalance the line. So overall, I like it. And it kind of reminds me of like, you know, like LIV Golf and the PGA, right? Like, you know, LIV kind of goes above and beyond and there's, you know, people smashing beers on their heads and everyone's in shorts and like, you know, they're screaming in the backswing and like there's DJs on the ninth, like things like that. And, you know, it gets pretty ridiculous, much like some things in the XFL.
Well, we've already got a nightclub in Vegas now at Arizona. Exactly. They built Airbnbs in the effing end zone. I mean,
right. So like, this is one of the, it's almost like if the PGA would just adopt, hey, let the guys wear shorts. It's almost like, okay, NFL, adopt the cool kickoff rule because it works and it makes sense. And I'm glad they're going in that route because, again, it's going to – it adds more fun. It makes it more exciting. As soon as you get used to it, we're going to love this, and I don't think we're going to have any complaints.
Yeah, and the next thing they need to do is adopt the XFL style. You can either – if you're behind in the game, you can either choose to kick off, declare an onside kick, or fourth and 15 from your own 20.
Yeah, they. I think the Eagles proposed that and 20 thing, but it that was 2 years in a row and it got shut down again. So eventually, I like it. We'll see what happens. Again, that kind of adds, again, I guess I'm missing the word I'm thinking of, but like ridiculous. Like it kind of seems crazy that that's going to be in the NFL, but it worked in the XFL. I like the idea of it. And again, it's just going to be another one of those things where you got to get used to it. And once it's in the game, it's in the game and we're going to like it. So eventually, I think that'll be added as well.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it too. So I'm glad you like it as well. Yeah. What's your one of the things we were talking about with Callahan towards the end there was what's going to happen at three with the Patriots, which has been the biggest topic for months and will continue to be up until April 25th at probably about 8:15 or 8:20 p.m. Trade back, take a quarterback, and who's it going to be? Do you buy into the idea that Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, and the new brain trust with the Washington Commanders are that high up on the now most touted quarterback, the most buzzed about quarterback, Jim Harbaugh's forgotten son, J.J. McCarthy? Or is this Washington's version of smokescreen season to just throw everybody off and cause someone to panic and send a godfather offer their direction, the Patriots' direction, or another?
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating. Like you said, smokescreen season, it's in full effect. You don't know what's true. You don't know what's not. At this time last year, people were talking about Will Levis going number one overall, and then he falls to the second round. Like, you know, people just throw out facts and nonsense and things like that at this time of year. And so as far as J.J. McCarthy, like he's shooting up boards and he has impressed. He's the guy that the farther away you get from the actual play on the field, he's continuing to skyrocket. And admittedly, I've started to come around to him too. He had an impressive pro day. You know, his measurements coming in at 6'2", over 200 pounds. Like, he's got the build. He has great footwork. And he just didn't really have a chance to, show his full, I guess, you know, repertoire in that Michigan offense. But as far as the Commanders go, I don't really know what their, I guess the Godfather offer, like you said, but what else is their incentive to kind of throw smoke, because they're going to have their pick of the litter outside of Caleb Williams. So it sounds like it could be true. And I wonder, because Adam Peters did come from that San Francisco system, the Shanahan, type offense. And J.J. McCarthy seems like somebody who could run that to a T, because, you know, it doesn't necessarily put a ton on your plate. I mean, it does, but yeah, I just feel like he fits that system right. Like, you know, it's a West Coasty sort of short game, understanding the game, relying on the run game, get the ball out quick. And I think he's great at that. So it will be fascinating to see what happens. And long story short, I like JJ just as much as everybody else does right now. I think he might end up being pretty good.
Yeah. I think he's great. The kid's lost two football games since he started in high school. Right. So the kid's a natural winner. I get that. But to me, it's all about the coaching to me. So
yeah,
Mac Jones played better than he may have played anywhere else his rookie season, because he had the steady, nurturing, paternal hand of Josh McDaniels,
right?
Who probably got the most out of him he could, especially given the talent they surrounded him with. If J.J. McCarthy goes second overall, Peter says, no, this is the kid. We're going to build around him. He's smart. We watch the tape. Go to YouTube. He's hyper athletic. People are gushing about his mechanics, his footwork. And one thing that I've gone back and forth with Keith and Hart about is I don't know who has the psycho desire to win. You can't underestimate the unquantifiable, which is their will and their desire, the edge. I don't know if Caleb Williams has that. I'm not sure where that is with Jaden Daniels. I think Drake May has a little bit of that. I know for a fact J.J. McCarthy is kind of nuts.
I saw a story about J.J. McCarthy the other day, and it was T.J. Houshmandzadeh was on Colin Cowherd the other day. And T.J. Houshmandzadeh and McCarthy were on the same flight to the combine from wherever they were. And I'm not going to say Houshmandzadeh eight more times, so we're going to call him TJ for the rest of me explaining this. Yeah. But TJ said that McCarthy didn't know he was on the plane, and he's just sitting there watching him. And for 2.5 hours, McCarthy was just diagramming plays, you know, studying football the entire time. You know, anybody else is not going to do that. Like, that's what you talk about, a desire to win, a desire to play. Like, you know, he lost only one game in college over 2 years as a starter. He's sitting on
the plane. One game he threw for 400 yards and got robbed of the Roman Wilson. He played his ass off in that game.
Yeah, right. And so I liked hearing that story, and it wasn't performative either. Like Houshmandzadeh said that, you know, he didn't know I was on the plate. He was just sitting there doing his thing, and I'm sitting there watching him seeing, holy crap, this guy really loves ball. And, you know, all these guys like football. All these guys are going to want to be pros. Like, it's kind of hard for me to sit here and say that one guy likes to win more than the other, but you know, seeing that, hearing that firsthand or secondhand rather from him was pretty interesting to hear.
Yeah, it was. See, that's the thing that I think people are sort of sleeping on in regards to that. Now, anybody can have a will to win, but if they don't have the talent around them and the physical gifts and the understanding of the game, then it doesn't really matter. I think he'd be a great pick. You're just going to have to be willing to give him some time to adjust to the pro game. And I don't think Jim Harbaugh has any stock in this kid. And no, Pats fans, they're not going to trade Justin Herbert to us for the right to try to draft him third
overall.
Wouldn't
that be fascinating, though? Because, again, he has touted the crap out of J.J. McCarthy, and they have the fifth overall pick. If he's
loves him more than anyone has ever loved another player not on their team in history.
Like, I wonder what he says to their front office in the draft room, the war room, when J.J. McCarthy's sitting there at five and is like, let's just do it. I want to work with this kid. I don't want to work with Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
like, what do
we
you
already
do?
Had to get out from underneath Mike Williams. We get out from underneath Keenan Allen. Herbert's 52.5, but they can't. Have you heard the dead cap money on moving Herbert? It's like $100 million.
Yeah, you can't do it. You're right.
You can't do it. No, he's working with, and you should be so lucky as to make your way back to the pros and have a stud like that with a laser rocket arm like Herbert. Like, he'll get the most out of him and change things. Now, McCarthy could be going into a system. Isn't Cliff Kingsbury his offensive coordinator now with the Commanders?
Yep.
Okay. Well, he's going to get a lot out of him over time. I think it's a great landing spot for him. And as far as Caleb Williams to Chicago, he's going to have Shane Waldron. If Caleb Williams actually tunes in and isn't too busy listening to podcasts on his AirPods or thinking about what he's going to get from DoorDash later that night, then maybe he'll develop accordingly. Chicago's done a great job surrounding him with talent this offseason.
Right.
We have to don't worry about Alex Van Pelt and TC McCartney calling a wonderful West Coast offense and score, you know, like surprising people by scoring 30 points a game. If the Patriots take a quarterback at three, Mike, to me, it is all about what kind of a job do they do? What kind of a job do they do growing, maturing, and teaching the game to Drake May, Jaden Daniels, or whoever else the Patriots may take should they trade back? It's all about who was a part of that coaching infrastructure as much as it is like, oh, did you see that throw he made, you know, in shorts and shells, 73 yards on a tether, you know?
100%. Like, these guys, all of these guys have talent. It's about honing it in, finding it, and developing them into a player. And obviously there's different examples of, like, guys who are just busts and just, you know, things change and they don't have the desire. And you hear the Jamarcus Russell stories about how they handed him a blank CD and he just didn't watch the film and lied about it. Or Johnny Manziel in his documentary giving I watched zero film. Like, there's guys like that. But for the most part, all of these guys have talent. And you're right, Fitzy. It's more so what you put around them. Is there consistency? Like, again, with Mac, Josh McDaniels is there for the season and then he's gone. And then you screw him over with, you know, Patricia and Judge, and then at that point he's on three offensive coordinators in three seasons, and it turns into a disaster. So you mentioned the Patriots specifically. Like, yeah, there's Cliff Kingsbury, and yes, there's Shane Waldron for the first two picks, but you know, the Patriots are going to have Alex Van Pelt, and you know, Van Pelt was sort of an under the radar name, and we've done this and we've rehashed this over the last, you know, month and a half since they hired him, but he's a guy who I don't think is going to necessarily shoot off for a head coaching job in two seasons. Like, he's in his 50s. He hasn't really been, you know, desired in that mm-hmm. position. He's at an offensive coordinator. Why isn't he just going to be here and stick around for the next 5-6 seasons with the quarterback you draft and develop alongside of him? And as long as the system, and again, TC McCartney too has worked with quarterbacks. So like, you have a quote unquote quarterback guru, a quarterback shop here with McCartney and Van right. Pelt. And if it's successful, these guys can stick around for the long-ish haul and hopefully develop this guy into the franchise quarterback he can be. So yeah, you're right. It is all about, you know, what you put around them. And I think the Patriots have, you know, at least a decent support system to get this thing rolling.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't have the will to win and you don't have the proper infrastructure with a game plan for how they can mature you into a successful NFL quarterback, into a system that plays into your strengths with the talent right. around you, then you're screwed. Screwed, blue, and tattooed. Before we wrap up, Mike, just want to see for the people that are watching live on Facebook, YouTube, and our respective socials as well, who do you want most at quarterback and why? Who is your, like, you can have anyone right now, Mike. Who is your ultimate number one?
I'm going to go Drake May. I'm going to stick with Drake May. And I think, you know, we talked about
the Matriot.
I love you, Giardi, and Andy
Drake and Bake. Oh, there's so many different nicknames for him. I mean, he is definitely the clubhouse leader in terms of like marketability, nicknames, merchandise, and more. But that's,
and I feel like the talk of the town now is that he's just going to end up as a Patriot, and so naturally Washington is going to take him, and then we're going to be stuck, quote unquote, stuck with Jaden Daniels after everybody loved him two months ago. And so no, but I'm going to go with Drake May. I think he fits what they want to do. I think he fits with what Van Pelt, the type of offense he's going to run, more so than even like a Caleb Williams. And so I know Caleb's going to go to Chicago, and so he's kind of out of the picture anyway. But I'm sticking to my guns, and I'm going to say that Drake May should be the guy here.
I was all about Jaden Daniels until I pumped the brakes and took a second to reconsider the Mac Jones factor. Mac Jones, went to different SEC schools. Yes, Mac Jones had an insanely good running back, a great system, and two world-class wide receivers who were both first-round talent. Guess what? Jaden Daniels had a system tailored to his strengths, 3 and 4 wide all the time, never under center. He's hyper-athletic, but he also has two first-round wide receivers in his arsenal as well. His senior season when he put up insane numbers, 50 overall touchdowns, and won the Heisman Trophy. So I have a little hesitation about him as well. I still like Mike Penix more than other people do. That's not going to happen. I wouldn't kick JJ McCarthy out of bed for eating crackers either. If the Patriots say like, we think he is the most upside, that to me is a clear signal that Jacoby Brissett will be starting the entire year, because you don't want to bust this kid. You want to give him time. He's only started 25 games in college. That's a big difference as well. Hey, you know, I'm coming around on Drake May. Why are there so many Drake May detractors? I don't think it's paralysis by analysis season.
That's what I think it is. I think it is 100%.
Merrill Hodge is right more than he's wrong about these quarterbacks. There are people that say he works as, like, one of Alex Van Pelt's biggest tasks is going to be trying to coach this kid out of thinking he can use his arm and his physical skills to make it, like, coach him out of Josh Allen syndrome and let him try to develop appropriately the same way that they did in Buffalo.
Right.
You know, like if that's Brian, the thing what's his name? If they can do a Daboll, if Alex Van Pelt can pull a Daboll with him, then we may just stumble into the next great quarterback in Pat's nation. If they let him hang it high and let it fly, he may bust out before he's ready.
Well, that's the thing. There's Drake May detractors, and everyone's like, oh, well, he might end up like Josh Allen. Like, what are we talking about here? Josh Allen's a top three quarterback in football, and he makes mistakes, and sometimes he throws the football backwards, and sometimes he jumps and releases. Like, I don't know. You got to be a playmaker. You got to try and make plays in this league, and they hone that down. They, you know, they, I guess, backed him off of that, you know, mistake proneness, I guess, if you will, that Josh Allen had early in his career, and now look what he's turned into. So if that's going to be the knock on Drake May, that he might be like Josh Allen, bring him in here, fix him. You know, maybe he's a little less polished than some of the other guys, but if you have a guy like Van Pelt who can hone it in, I'm down for it. Limit the mistakes and cook with gas there. So I do. I think it's paralysis by analysis. I really do. I think you get into, you know, the draft should be in March. Like sometimes you just overlook these guys and it gets too in detail. And when Drake May was the guy, at some point you just have to start to look for things that knock him down, where Jaden Daniels on the reverse or JJ McCarthy on the reverse. You know, everyone had questions. So now you're looking for all the positives and they kind of take this, you know, dual axis approach or whatever.
See, precisely. So good question to end on here. We're getting all sorts of feedback on May from people watching live on socials now here on Six Rings. But question from Jeff Stenberg watching live on YouTube. Is the Drake May hate somewhat based on Sam Howell, same school, same coach, same system, and Howell has underperformed as a pro? I saw enough last year in Sam Howell in Washington. I know he was benched for the final three games. Brissett looked pretty good, and now here he is as QB1 for the Patriots. I feel like I saw enough in Sam Howell that if somebody sits his ass down for a year, preaches patience, and teaches him the pro game just a little more, not to just rely on those physical skills thinking he can run or gunsling his way out of problems, he might be okay. Yes, he did have Eric Bieniemy last year in Washington, but he also had the worst offensive line in the NFL, and they had a lousy defense. And so he just made a lot of bad business decisions last year. He played like it was house money and not a second-year quarterback. That's exactly what May could get into as well if they're not careful with him. It's Trubisky fatigue, Trubisky fear for me. There you go. Good call.
I saw that too. I don't know. I have a hard time buying into the school develops busts. Like all these guys are different. They're all different people. Different things make them tick. They all have different skill sets. Like you look at Ohio State quarterbacks and everyone said Ohio State quarterbacks have always stunk, that, you know, Justin Fields and, you know, Dwayne Haskins and JT Barrett and Braxton, like all these guys, they were great in college, but they don't develop. But then you look at CJ Stroud this year, it's like, oh, that guy's pretty damn good. And even at the University of Oregon, like Joey Harrington was a bust and Marcus Mariota didn't pan out. But, oh, Justin Herbert, that guy's pretty damn good. Like, I don't know. I don't fully buy into that. I think that these guys are their own people. I don't care that he went to UNC. I don't care that Mitch Trubisky was a bust. I just think if you have a really good football player, you can turn him into something. So
Gonzo Duke points out, when I said that Daniels had two stud wide receivers, so did Mac. Gonzo Duke said, so did Joe Burrow. Yeah, but you could tell Joe Burrow, they call him Joey Burr for a reason. He goes ice cold. He's a killer. He's a psycho. He's got that like, oh man, I don't want to be in a gun. I don't want to be in a shootout with this guy mentality. Right. And these are all the unquantifiables we will continue to monitor, discuss, and think about. Man, it's going to be fun. Man, is it going to be fascinating. I just got to get here.
It's not even a dead period because there's so much stuff going on, but it's like, I just want the Patriots to be on the damn clock and I just want to know what they're going to do. I want to know what the direction is. And right now it's so many question marks and smoke screens. It makes it that much more fun.
So stay tuned to our socials. He's at Mike Cadlick. I'm at Fitzy GFY. We're both members of the WEEI team. Tomorrow is Jaden Daniels pro day, coming off of the NFL owners meetings in Orlando. We thank Andrew Callahan for joining us again. Right after that will be Drake May's pro day. Look for a lot of big, long, flashy throws, a lot of oohs and ahs as they complete bombs and ins, outs, slants, and more. It's going to be more about what we think we hear from the meetings and just getting a general temperature check from all those other things that really matter most with the quarterback. So we'll keep you up to date on all that. I'll be on the Rich Keefe Show tonight and tomorrow as well. And you can find Mike on the dial and, of course, at weei.com. Anything else, my guy, or shall we wrap it?
No, let's wrap it. This was fun. Me and Jumbo will be back live on Six Rings tomorrow as well for a one-off Wednesday. The subject is TBD, but we'll be back. So keep it here. Subscribe to Six Rings Pod and all that good stuff.
Oh, I love TBD. That's the new FEA, which is, of course, the new LFG, which became the new GFY. All right. There you go, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, listening, watching. Share and subscribe, and make sure you listen to the podcast. Subscribe, tell your friends all about it. We are building quite the coalition in the most active and dynamic Patriots media reporting and fan community possible. For Cadlick, for our pal Callahan from the Boston Herald, this is Nick Fitzy Stevens saying thanks so much for listening. Good day, God bless, and as always, go Pats.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.